welcome to episode 46 of Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and trainer, Tina Zaremba. All right, here we go. Do you know what one of my favorite parts of hosting this podcast is? Besides from meeting all these amazing people that are out there in the world, it's when I talk to voiceover talent, I'm always surprised, and I'm not surprised, as how voiceovers was like always in them. Does that make sense? Whether it's, you know, coming from this creative family, speaking in funny voices when they were a kid, or just sitting around, you know, the family table or on the front porch hearing stories from their grandparents. And I hear these stories and think, oh, of course, voiceovers found them. Voiceovers was always within them. This next guest clearly comes from a creative and playful family that just, well, in my mind, set her on a path to be a creative maverick. I'm talking with the one and only Stacey Aswad. Listen in as Stacey shares her path to voiceovers, how becoming more strategic and streamlined with her career led to greater fulfillment and more work, of course. And of course, I've got to talk to her about her hugely popular YouTube show, VO Buzz Weekly, that she co-hosts with Chuck Duran. It's fabulous. You should check it out. She was a delight to talk with, and I am happy to share our chat. Here it is. So Stacey Aswad, thank you so much for talking with me.
Oh, it's so great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm glad this worked out.
New York sister.
Yeah, I know. You're out in LA. Are you like an LA person or did you transplant there?
I am originally from New York. I was born upstate New York, Binghamton, and I lived there for a long time and moved into Manhattan for college and danced there forever and lived there for a long time. And then I've moved to the Midwest, the South, and now LA is my latest address for the last little over 10, almost 11 years. Yeah.
And why did you decide to make the move to LA?
Well, I am a kind of stay yes to life girl. And I got an opportunity as an on-camera host for Disney.
Yes.
And so that kind of was a catalyst. And I was at a point in my life where I had been a dancer, choreographer, and I kind of wanted to see what else was going on, had started doing acting on the East Coast and theater. And it just sort of felt like, why not go to a huge pond? How hard could it be, right?
Yeah.
I said, why not? And my two friends from New York that we've been friends since we were kids were out here. And it was really fun because I would come visit them. And for the longest time, I would be like, I don't get LA. I don't get it with like the Ugg boots and the denim shorts. Like, I don't understand this place. And so I was always eager to leave. And then I kind of, when I decided to move here, I very much am a bloom where I plant myself person. And I said, this is my choice and I'm going to come out here. And I just sort of lived my way into a life here, which I love. I mean, short of being 3,000 miles away from my family, which I don't love, I have a great life out here. And I feel like this is where I need to be, at least for now.
That's awesome. I was just talking to Jennifer Hale yesterday, and she was talking to me about just saying yes to everything, you know? So when you said that you're a yes girl, I was like, oh yeah, that's awesome.
I love Jen. She is a big yes with exclamation points. She's fantastic.
Yeah, she is awesome. So was it being out in LA that you discovered voiceovers or had you had it in the back pocket before you moved?
Well, I kind of feel like I grew up doing voiceover, but I didn't know that's what it was. My family is hilarious and big. And my dad always did voices and he's a great impressionist and he'll hear a voice and he can take an improv all the way to the bank and back. He's so funny and great. My mom was always doing stuff. And so I grew up with that. We grew up listening to radio shows and Masterpiece Theater. And so there was always music playing. There was always voices going on in our house. And then my sisters and I have a lot of, do you know, Stife animals?
What's Stife animals? I don't know.
They're like a kind of, they're like the button in the ear stuffed animals. And we had this whole massive like collection. And each one of them had a name, a voice, a storyline. So there's four girls in my family. So there's five of us total. I'm the youngest of the five. And so we all have these names, which now when people hear someone call me something, they're like, who's that? I'm like, oh, that's me. It's one of my alter egos. So we always were doing voices and we still do them. So that was always kind of a running theme in my life. And then I had done a little bit of voiceover when I was on the East Coast doing on camera. But when I moved to LA, I knew I wanted to add that. And there were so many opportunities out here. So I said, well, let me try it. And that's actually how I met Chuck Duran. Because everyone said, if you need a demo, he's the guy. So I did my research and looked at some other people and I met with Chuck and I said, oh yeah, he is the guy. And that's kind of how we first met. And then he started hiring me for commercial. He was doing a lot of commercial campaigns at the time. And so he would hire me and I got to start working with all these veteran voice actors. And I was new to town. I didn't know anybody in the industry. And then I got an agent and kept working with him and obviously getting some other stuff. So it just sort of skyrocketed from there. It's been a blast. And I love it. I really love everything about it.
So is there a particular lane within voiceovers that you focus on? Because you do. I mean, you do everything from promos to animation to commercial.
You know, I love promo, in-show narration and announcing. I love commercials. I mean, of course, I love animation and games. And when you get those opportunities, it's fantastic to play and find out who lives inside of you. But I really like the get in, get out, clock is ticking, you got to nail it in one take. That's sort of like dun, 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 of promo and in-show, and especially any kind of live announce, you have to, there's no do-over, right? Right. And a lot of time with promo, they need it right then. And so you can't take 20 minutes to do it necessarily. So that kind of feeds into my pace. It's a real natural fit. And I feel like it still challenges me at the same time of feeling very comfortable. And I think from being a dancer, I love the soul clock of it and the timing and having to really hit something in 13.2. And a lot of what I do with my Disney hosting, there's time constraints. And so if I'm doing voiceover sections of it, I love that. All right, Stacey, you have to get in 7.4 and we only have 15 seconds. Okay. Yeah. I love that sort of danger, excitement.
So I was feeling
quote, I'm palpitations. Doing air quotes, danger, quote.
How do you balance it all? Because you talk, I mean, your Disney gig, it's a pretty big gig. Tell people about that.
Well, back in 2005, I was brought on as the resort TV host for Walt Disney World. And so anywhere you go, in the parks, out of the parks, in Orlando, around the property, there's a Stacey channel and it's on 24/7, 365. And I'm talking about tickets and what to do, where to get them. I'm writing everything, running around, dancing with the characters. And that started back in 2005. It was my very first hosting gig. I had never been to Walt Disney World before. So that was supposed to last for 1 year. And lo and behold, here we are 13 and a half years later. And it looks like it's going to keep going for a little while longer. So it's pretty cool. It's a great challenge because I have to really be in the moment, on the fly. I love so much that it's the happiest time in people's lives. I mean, literally people will write to me and say, my kids were born when you started the show and now they're going into high school, or we got engaged and watching you and now we're having our third kid, or, you know, it's really cool to be a part of that experience, and people memorize the show, and it's really it's a really special thing. And I love that I still get to do it and they still want to have me around. So I'm excited to go back. Sometimes I go there and shoot. And then sometimes I just do VO from here in LA. So
when you're there in Disney World, do people recognize you? Do you see the regular, you know, pedestrians, or are you off on your own shooting with a crew?
We have a crew and we shoot in the parks, sometimes when they're open, sometimes when they're not, but a lot of times when they are. And so now that I've been around for a while, people do recognize me, and it's very sweet, and they want pictures, or they'll, like, if I tweet that I'm there, it's like a Where's Waldo Stacey version. You know, it's like, have you seen her? I think she's in Animal Kingdom. No, I saw her in Magic Kingdom. And so there's this whole like, no, I just saw her, you know? So they try to find me because we move around a lot. We do a lot of shooting in the different parks, depending on what needs to happen. So they're always just so nice. And it's such a beautiful community. I had not been a part of that. I didn't grow up going there. So now I understand really, really well why it is such a magical place, literally, for people.
Yeah, we went for the first time last year with my son. And I've got to say, I mean, we really enjoyed it. But there are people there that really, like, they go year after year, a couple times a year. And yeah. I mean, I could see where they would, like, be so excited to see you because they know everything and anything about the park and Disney. It's wild. So,
did you do everything I told you to do, Tina?
Well, and you know, it's so funny because I watched all the videos, so I'm sure I saw you. I'm not really a roller coaster gal. Did you do the, we'll get back to voiceovers, but did you do, no, this is Bob Weiser. Did you do the ride at Animal Kingdom?
Expedition Everest?
No, God, are you kidding me? I would have like puked. I did not do that, but funny, my husband and my son did, and they looked like they were about to wee themselves. Avatar, is that what it's called? Avatar? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, that one I haven't done yet. The Pandora one.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet. I hear it's incredible.
That was wild. You literally felt like you were flying, like you were going through the ocean, that you were riding on a dolphin, that you were over these trees. It was so magical.
Yeah.
Anywho, you're a host, you're a voiceover artist, you're a producer. I mean, seriously.
I do juggle a lot. And I got a few years ago, I got to a point where I kind of said to myself, you know, I've done a lot of really cool TV film projects and on-camera commercials and grateful for all that, got to do some wacky stuff. But I got to a point where I was like, like I'm not completely blissing out about it. And I sort of said to myself, I need to let go of some things to make room for things I want more. And so the traditional hosting TV film stuff, I said, you know, I feel like I've done that and I'm not completely in 100% gratitude. And I don't want to go sit in a trailer when someone else should sit in that trailer waiting for their time to go to set. That's not for me. So that was a huge epiphany because I think a lot of times people think I have to keep doing everything. I have to just keep adding more and more and more and more because that means I'm successful. And I kind of visually looked at it was like I was an octopus. I had tentacles going in 30 different directions. And I kind of wanted to be more like an eel. I wanted to get more strategic and streamlined with where my time and my energy and my passion was going. So that's when I figured out, you know, I've done the on-camera thing that way. I'm going to do it still, but in my way. And that really, I feel like the universe kind of said, ah, good child, you finally have acknowledge this, listen to your gut. And I swear, like when I said, I really want to focus on my hosting, obviously my Disney thing is its own thing, but it's not like I do it every day. Right. It sort of runs and does its thing. And I bop in and out here and there, but I wanted to do something hosting that was authentically me. And then I voiceover wise, I was like, I want to do all the different lanes that I love and that I get opportunities in, but I really want to maximize what I'm doing with that. So it was amazing how everything shifted. And when you really just give yourself permission to live the life that you want to live, not the one that everyone else is like, well, you should. And I was actually talking to our beautiful friend, Jody Gottlieb, about this recently, that depending on who you say that to with their filter, some would say, that's amazing, rock on. Some would say, oh my gosh, you're quitting? Waiting on camera? I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm doing what feels truthful and authentic to me. And that was a really lovely moment to just say, thank you everyone for all these great opportunities, but I'm going to go over here. And all the bridges are intact. And all my awesome agents were like, if you ever want to come back, please, we're here for you. So it was wonderful. But there was something so great about just walking out the door and going, I am firmly planted in the driver's seat of my life. And I am going to decide where I want it to go, not waiting for other people to say, you know what you should be doing. You know, that should word gets a little clunky in your life sometimes.
Yeah. And even when you're doing something that you love within voiceovers, sometimes I've caught myself going, oh, I should be focusing on this because I hear it's a really growing area. Right. And meanwhile, it's not anything that makes my heart sing or I resonate with. So what magic happened when you listened to your truth and stepped into that?
I felt like my voice got stronger. It was more truthful and authentic. I felt like I wasn't hemorrhaging energy. I gave myself permission to say yes when it was right and it felt right. And more importantly, I gave myself permission to say no when my gut said, that's not working for us. All of our voices in my head, it's not working for us. And I think saying no is a very powerful, complete sentence that everyone needs to, I would encourage people, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I would encourage people to give themselves permission to say no. And it doesn't mean that it has to make sense to other people. Your life is not a committee decision. Your life is your own. You are the CEO of your life. And so if it makes sense to you and what is going to be impacted in your sphere, that's all that matters. You don't have to make it okay for everybody else. And I think that that really just opened up a lot of headspace for me to put into other things and to fill up my database with things that I wanted. And one of those things was starting VO Buzz Weekly.
Tell us about it.
I'm a self-segwayer.
Go into VO Buzz Weekly. And I was hoping that when you stepped into your truth, that kind of magically collided then with VO Buzz Weekly is what you're going to say. It sounds like it did.
Yeah. Because I mean, as a host, I was getting some really cool, I mean, Disney is its own thing. It's this whole beautiful, it's its own universe. And I love it. But there were other hosting opportunities that I was getting and, you know, they were great. But I was like, I want to look how I want to look and sound how I want to sound and act how I want to act. And some projects would say, wow, she's so witty and sharp. Can she be a little less smart? So I just was not loving, you know, because I always say like some money costs too much and the price tag of what they want to give you might be attractive, but you're going to pay for it in the end. So I just said, I want to do something that's going to inspire people, that's going to make me excited, that's going to be putting something into the world that helps people, and I get to be who I am. Coupled with the fact that Chuck and I wanted to do something together, collaboratively and creatively, and we were kind of thinking of all these different ideas, and then we said, oh, what about a talk show and put faces to voices and talk about inspiration and people's journeys and voiceover. And then it's kind of cool because that was in January 2012. And now we're almost going to start our eighth year in January and we're over 300 episodes. And what I think is fun is that we have fans that are not into voiceover. They're like, I don't know who that agent is and I don't want them to sign me. I don't even know who that cartoon voice is. But the stories of their human experience, their perseverance, their resilience, all of that is resonating because it's a human, everyone goes through that. Everyone goes through those emotions and those ups and downs. So I kind of, it's fun when you hear from people that are like, I don't know who any of y'all are, but I'm liking the messages and listening to, like Chuck and I call it, the patterns and behaviors of successful people. Because those are things that you can learn from. The verbiage might change, but it's still a universal thing. So it's like a masterclass. It's so cool to hear how people push through and listen to their voice and their gut and say, I know I know everyone's saying this, but this feels right to me. And how they've gotten off track and gotten back on track. So it's really cool. And the information is timeless, whether you've watched a show that was in 2012 or 2016 or last week, it's really a timeless kind of conversation. And we talk about stuff that isn't just your typical, how do you break down a script? Like we don't necessarily go there. We talk more about life and how everyone got where they are. And
so you mentioned patterns and behaviors of success. Have you identified with the people that you've interviewed some themes of patterns and behaviors that have led people to success that keep coming up? Like, oh, there's that pattern again.
Mm-hmm. Definitely patience, persistence, tenacity, authenticity, staying true to what your inner voice is telling you, regardless of. There's Scott Rummel, for example, one of our industry's top promo trailer voices. He was told very early on, you know, Scott, you shouldn't really do this. You don't have what it takes. And that's a common thing. You know, you should just not. You should just not. And he said, great. And that famous saying, you know, your opinion of me is none of my business. And he just said, no, but this is what I want to do. And here he is, right? So I think that a lot of it is really staying true to what you believe for you is the best thing, because nobody knows us better than ourselves. No one's going to cheerlead bigger for us than ourselves. So I think instead of trying to make everybody else happy and doing what I think I'm supposed to do to make everyone else be okay and keep me in my little box that makes them feel more comfortable, you should create a box or not even have a box. And if that's what works for you, that's the winning, that's, you're a success already, because you have to live with yourself your whole life. So you better be your best friend and be on board with what decisions you're making, because otherwise you're just going to be in this state of constant turmoil. And that's just, that's unnecessary suffering. There's too much suffering going
on. Amen. Yes. So where can folks learn about VO Buzz Weekly?
Well, we have the show website, vobuzzweekly.com. We have a YouTube channel, which we would love for you to come on over and subscribe and watch. We have lots of different kind of content on there too, like making of voiceover demos with like Bob Bergen and Joe Cipriano and Scott Rummel. And then we also have an audio version on iTunes. So if you want to drive or jog with us and not run into trees or other cars, you can listen and then watch the video later.
Awesome.
So that's the easiest way to get to it.
And your website, if folks want to learn more about you, connect with you.
Yeah, I'm stacyjaswa.com, and I'm on the socials, you know.
You're on the socials.
So you can find me there.
But, yeah. Oh, that's awesome. All right. So here's my last question for you, Miss Stacy. Yes. Maya Angelou says, words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning. What do you hope your overall voice conveys in life as well as in work?
I think about my Lebanese grandfather, my paternal grandfather. He was an artist, a philosopher. He has published books, and he was also a great cook. And we called him Baba. And he, my last name, Aswad, means black in Arabic. And he made an acronym for our name. So it's A, ability, S, sincerity, W, wisdom, A, ambition, D, determination. So I feel like while I am a constant work in progress, I feel like I'm living my way into all of that. And I hope that my voice is doing that justice. And I would also have to add, I want there to be layers of kindness and gratitude and compassion and resilience, because I think that we're all a choice or two away from a very different life. And I'm always reminding myself that no matter what happens in my life, that roller coaster, personally, professionally, what I hold most dear and who is most treasured to me in my life cannot be taken away without my permission. So I think I want that strength and permission to be in my work and in my relationships outside of the booth.
You are such a beautiful person. Thank you. Oh my gosh. I wish we were chatting in person. I'd give you a big hug. I love that. I love that. I love that.
Thank you so much for listening in. A quick reminder, if you haven't taken my free 5-day VO challenge, go do that. TinaZaremba.com/challenge. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.